Hey everyone, I'm Jevin Malte.
And I'm Joe Mellon.
And welcome to Built in a Day podcast, where we help business and idea people move their business forward by helping them run tests in a single day. In each episode, we select a single business and help them learn if an idea is worth pursuing or if they have some features that are worth building. Okay. Hey, everybody. So we're here with Jason Lim today. Met Jason on the Project Management HQ Slack, where we're both members. I kind of posted, hey, we're looking for people who want to test things. And product managers are thinking, hopefully, all the time about, you know, what product would make sense for specific people. And so Jason came and was willing to come on the show. So I don't know a ton about his idea. We talked a little bit about it. But Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jevin. Thanks for doing the call with me today.
Absolutely. So what's your background? Can you tell us like what you're doing during the day?
Sure. So I'm based now in San Francisco. I'm originally from Sydney, Australia. I came over here end of last year. Currently right now I'm in the phase of looking for a new product role, but you know, as a entrepreneurial product person, I'm always thinking of new business ideas as well. Spent some time doing my own startups actually in China for about four and a half years in media and real estate. Spent a bit of time with Atlassian as well in the Jira team doing product and product marketing.
Awesome. Okay, so just to reiterate, everyone, Jason's looking for a new gig. So if you like how he thinks, send him an email. The other thing I'll say is Joe is just getting back from a backpacking trip, everyone. So he's not going to be on this show. Hopefully he'll be on for the review call that we'll have to follow up with Jason. So that's great, Jason. So tell us about kind of the opportunity or the problem that you have a sense exists that you want to build something around.
Sure. So now living in San Francisco and having lived in China for some time, I've seen the on-demand gig economy, you know, blow up. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's here to stay and a lot of people are transitioning to this mode of working. My hunch is that things are going to, you know, keep going in this direction. And, you know, eventually, you know, when self-driving automated cars come around, what's going to happen to those workers? So Right now I'm thinking around, you know, how do people that are thinking about getting into this on-demand gig economy think about these issues, because it's such a new way of doing things. So the real question is, and the opportunity that I want to try and solve is, how do these people figure out, you know, what's available to them, what's suitable for them, and how do they make a decision to do this type of work? And if they don't have the necessary things to do it, then can I help them get that?
Mm-hmm. So can you frame it a bit better? So you're saying the gig economy, it's exploding. Everyone's familiar with Uber, you know, people who can just kind of on demand go and do stuff, drive cars for people. What other things exist in this space?
Sure. So beyond the driving stuff, there's a lot of pickup and delivery services that are happening, especially Instacart, Postmates, DoorDash, a ton of other ones as well. There's new on-demand stuff happening with like on-demand chefs, on-demand dog walkers, on-demand cleaners, you know, anything you can think of, really. And so all these people are creating different verticals in the on-demand space where they can connect someone who needs something to someone who has spare time and has a skill to, you know, fulfill that need. So this is, you know, being extrapolated across many different verticals.
Wow. So what's your sense in the space? Is there more on the supply side in terms of people who are doing the work that are already signed up into these platforms? Or is it that there's not enough people to actually do the work?
My sense is that right now there's higher demand to find the supply of workers. I think there is a ready supply of these workers out there, but not all of them have discovered, you know, what's available to them. So you can see this with why Uber and Lyft and other services are paying such a high referral fee. For example, you know, refer a new driver to Uber or Lyft for a couple $100 in a referral fee. So, you know, if there wasn't this problem of needing to find new drivers, then they wouldn't have to pay this high referral fee. So, you know, I think there is a lot of demand to drive, but there's also still a gap of people finding out about, you know, Uber and Lyft and other services like them.
Got it. So you've talked about there's a lot of these things that are happening and a lot of applications and services that are trying to offer a marketplace for these different things that exist. I didn't even know for half of them that they had like a dog walkers one or a chef on demand. That's amazing. So what's your sense then of what you want to deliver or a specific problem that you want to solve in this space?
So the specific problem that I want to try and understand better right now is for people who are curious about getting into the on-demand and gig economy space, is there a problem for them to currently find out what's available to them and what's suitable for them and what they need to, you know, what do they need to get started in the whole on-demand gig economy? So it's really an understanding or an education and knowledge problem at the start. Is there a real, you know, problem? Is there too much information out there, or do they not know where this information is? Because my sense is that a lot of these people who are doing this work, you know, are not necessarily the very tech-savvy people. They're the people that maybe need supplementary income, or they're just looking for new types of flexible work to get extra cash. They're not necessarily on, you know, tech blogs like TechCrunch or VentureBeat looking for these things, so they may not know about all these services because there's so many coming online every day. So it's really trying to figure out, can I help them figure out what's available to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who do you suspect is the target audience who would be interested in doing this work? And I'm asking the question only because whatever you're going to do to test against that audience, you want to be able to niche it down as much as possible so that you know how to identify them, how to find them, all these things.
Sure. So my sense is that, first of all, they have to be, for the most part, over 18 years old. They are people who are likely, you know, they could be approaching retirement, or they may either be retired already and they're looking for other types of, you know, work to keep them busy and earn extra cash. They may be people that are currently doing other similar types of services, like they might be already delivery drivers, you know, for say DHL or something like that, but they want to, you know, have more control over their time and earning potential. Or they may be, you know, other drivers that, you know, are taxi drivers already. They may be people that just want to supplement their income. They may be teachers and want to do work on the side.
Mm-hmm. In the summer or something, or students or university students who have time with weird schedules. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, great, cool. So how about we pick one to start? Which one do you want to do?
Okay, cool. I'd like to pick people who are, I think there's a big pool of students right now that are experimenting and wanting to do this stuff. So I think that'd be a good place to start.
Okay, so the persona is what? This is someone who is 18 to 24, who's doing college or university in Canada. Is there anything more specific to it that would help us find these people?
I'm not sure what else would be another criteria. I mean, people who are looking for supplementary income, I know from talking to similar people that they, you know, do look for this type of work. You know, sometimes they see an ad pop up on Facebook, or they look at Craigslist from time to time. Mm-hmm. Supplementary income. Mm-hmm. So yeah, students who are, you know, have got some spare time in their schedule to do extra work on the side.
Okay, so university students, not terribly busy, looking for extra work. Got it. Now, what is the question that we're trying to answer about this particular demographic? Is it that they are interested already, but they just don't know how to get started? Is that the question I think that I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, I think that's a question. Well, kind of one, do you know about what's available in the on-demand gig economy? And two, what do you know about it? And three, how do you figure out what's suitable for you to do?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so what have you thought about how you can test this problem out already? Do you have some ideas?
So currently, I mean, on this getting work phase of the life cycle, I've just been talking to a bunch of people who have thought about it. I'm trying to set up more conversations with people who are thinking about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Are these people in the specific niche that we just described, the university student persona?
So far, they're not in the student university niche, no.
Okay. But in general, I guess, what's the feeling that you're getting from people maybe outside the niche?
So what's interesting is I think a lot of people, at least in San Francisco, kind of know about it because all these ads are in the face about, you know, an Uber and Lyft and all these other ones have quite prolific.
Of course.
But yeah, my suspicion is outside, you know, cities like New York and San Francisco, say in the Midwest, or even like Phoenix, Seattle, whatever, a lot of these people still don't really know about it that much. Well, they probably know about Uber and Lyft, but not so much the other ones.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So I think talking to people is really great. I think that's really good. So a couple options that come to mind. I mean, one, you can just go to the university campuses and maybe have like a flyer or even just like a piece of paper to be like, hey, and just approach people and say, hey, are you looking for extra work? Here's like a piece of paper that kind of shows different options. And then people will stop and kind of look at it. And then maybe from there, you can get a conversation to see if they've thought about it. And then, you know, from there you can see, you know, maybe there's a service that you could provide to them. Maybe if they actually find anything, or maybe you can help them navigate and you can ask them their skills and be like, hey, so what kind of things are you interested in? Do you, you know, would you be open for dog walking, for driving cars? Are you a laborer who can, you know, move, I don't know, construction stuff? Do you know plumbing? And so you can kind of probe and you can do this kind of filtering for them. And then maybe recommend a site and then call them up a week later to see if they've actually taken action on it. I mean, that's just one kind of idea that we can iterate on. And the other another option could be Facebook ads, maybe outside of San Francisco or New York, as you say, people are being inundated with that in that area. But you could target quite easily people who are interested in a particular university between certain ages, male, female. And so you could maybe put up like a little picture of an ad, be like, hey, looking for extra work, and just like throw up all these different logos of these different options and be like, hey, work when you want, click here for more information. And you can just have that same kind of document on a website. Say, hey, here's some different options. If you want a free consultation about which one might suit you, give me a call. I'm not sure. What do you think about those two different ideas for tests?
Yeah, I think those are pretty interesting. I mean, I could probably go to a nearby university on campus just to talk to a bunch of people and, yeah, experiment with that flyer and see if people are curious to learn more about these different things. And then second one, the Facebook one also could be a good idea. It'd be good for me to find out what's already online to see how they target those people as well.
I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, how they target, because it sounds like you want to find out if people are looking for different options, right? If Uber's targeting everybody, but the person doesn't have a driver's license, you're trying to target people who have yet to start with it. I'm not sure if what I just said discounts what you just said now that I think about it. But yeah, you should certainly investigate what other people are doing. But to try to do an experiment that's less than 2 hours, I wonder if just going on campus and trying to get 5 or 10 conversations within 2 hours, right? Versus if we did an AdWords thing where you have to make a graphic. If you're not super familiar with Facebook ads, you kind of research a little bit and it costs a bit of money. I think just walking into like a local school where things have kind of wind down, right? For the summer, people may be hanging around. Maybe they're taking like one summer school class, for example. It might be a cool opportunity to hit people up.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
So what would be, you know, talking to people's really hard. I'm not sure if you listened to the Tyler Maxey episode where he went on the street and like, you know, talked to people about kombucha, but what reservations or what's kind of happening, you know, with you right now? Because I think for so many of us, it's difficult and scary to go talk to people. Do you have any of that anxiety or are you like, no, I'm cool?
I think I could do it. I think the hard thing is, I mean, if some random people or some random person approaching on the street, the inclination is to usually just walk away or ignore someone. So that's probably going to be the thing that's going to be most challenging to overcome. But I'm pretty okay with, like, you know, approaching different people and, you know, caveat it with, you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to understand something, but maybe it's trying to figure out that narrative and approach to get started. Do you have any tips on how to do that?
No, you sound like a personal little guy. I think it's just approaching people, you know, coming up with some sort of non-threatening line. I think that's a great point that you said, hey, I'm not really selling anything. I've got this idea. I wanted to see if it fit something, what you're thinking about. You know, the one issue though, I'm just want to remind is we should really try not to talk about the solution that we're offering, where we should be trying to ask as many questions as we can. So in your case, there's two different things. And I think the first phase would be, hey, you know, are you looking for work right now? Yes or no? Have you actually actively looked for things? Yes or no? Hey, have you thought about the any of the sharing economy websites. Have you heard of Uber? Yeah. Oh, have you looked at these other particular things? No, I hadn't heard about those things. Okay. And just kind of asking these different questions to see how motivated they've been to look for extra work and looking into the different share economy options. And then after it's done, they're going to ask, well, what are you selling maybe? If they're really motivated, they'll kind of lean in and ask you that question. And then you could say, hey, I'm thinking about building an application. I can help you right now figure out what might be a good fit if that's interesting for you. And then, you know, after this phase, like if, for example, you become very confident these people are genuinely looking for something and you've really nailed the product market fit, right? That someone has a problem and you've identified an audience for that, then you can actually build like an quote application or a whole service for them where now you approach people, they, hey, are you looking for work? Here's a whole bunch of different options, some websites, I'll consult for you, give me $20 if any of them actually pan out, you know? So that's like, that could be the second phase. Do you think you're at the phase where you just want maybe the first one versus the second, or do those different options make sense to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd be interested to see if I could first understand, you know, the situation and how curious they are about getting involved, and then getting to the stage where they'd be willing to talk to me for, you know, just even a phone conversation, a consultation, mm-hmm. around what's, you know, available to them and what they're qualified for and what they can start straight away with. So I think that would be a good test to see, you know, if there is this need to better understand what's out there and what's suitable for them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, that sounds great. So any last thoughts, Jason? Otherwise, we'll close it out and we'll come right back with the results.
No, I think that's all. It's all good.
Awesome. Okay, Jason, I'm pumped. I love it when people go out and talk to real people, not through the internet. So I'm excited for that. Okay, everyone, so stay tuned. This is Built in a Day. We'll come right back with Jason and find out what he actually did. Hey everyone, we are back with Jason, but also Joe, who does not have a meeting now. So woo-hoo! Welcome back to both of you guys.
Hello.
So Jason, you were gonna go talk to people, which we think is always a lot of fun. So tell us what you were planning on doing and what actually happened.
Sure. So just to recap, the idea or the assumption was that there's a proliferation of on-demand services springing up around different cities, especially San Francisco, and I think it's happening across other countries as well. I think more and more people want to get into these on-demand services, you know, as they, you know, need to find extra cash or flexible work. But because there's so many and they're not, you know, it's such a new thing, they're not really knowledgeable of what's out there and what they have to do or if they qualify, etc. So the experiment was testing the hypothesis of, firstly, students, do they know about this industry? Are they interested in it? Do they know much about it? And would they, you know, want a service that would help them figure out, you know, what's available and what to choose, etc.?
Awesome. So we thought that going on campus would be a good place to start, especially in the summer. Maybe we assumed that people would have time on their hands. So what actually happened? And tell us about who you talked to. And
sure. So I did a little experiment. I went to the San Francisco University campus, and it was interesting. There were a lot of students packing up, I think, to go to take a break, like a school break. So there were some people walking around, you know, packing up stuff and preoccupied. But I managed to talk to at least five students.
Awesome.
On campus, and then I talked to about one or two other people after that. So yeah, it was pretty interesting. I think my hypothesis was that students, you know, naturally want extra work, extra cash, and they've got more free time. So here are some of the results. Essentially, half the people, they were familiar with what the on-demand economy is. Some of them weren't really, you know, too familiar with the term, but, you know, when I explained, you know, some big names like Uber and Lyft, they immediately, you know, knew what I was talking about. Five of the six people would consider doing it. And most of the people knew about, you know, the bigger names, like I said before, Uber, Lyft, and a lot of people mentioned TaskRabbit. Some of them mentioned the delivery services like E24, DoorDash. They talked about Amazon Prime as well.
So they knew the names, which is pretty cool. So, but as you said, you suspected that being in San Francisco, people would know the names. But that's still great to know.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised a bit that people didn't know the names as much as I thought they would. I think they needed a little bit of prompting or reminding, but I guess they're in school and maybe not so focused on the tech world like everyone else is in San Francisco.
Sure. What else came from your interviews?
I found out that, you know, a lot of people, you know, wanted something that was obviously convenient. And I think because they're in school still and studying on a specific, you know, degree, they wanted something that actually was related to what they were studying. A lot of them mentioned fairly idealistic things about building personal relationships, developing their skills, and helping, you know, other people in general. They wanted something that would, you know, of course, you know, pay decently. And some of the things they needed to know up front in deciding whether to do something was, you know, the level of commitment in terms of hours and the skills required, and also the risks involved with doing something. A few people mentioned, you know, the risk of driving for them, of course, is something that might happen on the road to them.
I have a question on that. When you said got to pay decently, did you get any numbers on that, like what that actually means?
Actually, I didn't get any specific numbers, but I figure it's something, you know, that's, you know, more than what they get as a normal hourly pay in something they do. Or I didn't see pay as a big motivating factor to them. It was more around, you know, something that was easy and didn't require a lot of effort. But I didn't get a specific number on you know, how much they were expecting, because they're, of course, across different types of services.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I asked them as well, like, if they knew the difference between being an employee and a contract, because most of these on-demand workers are contractors. A lot of people said they didn't have any preference between if they were an employee or a contractor, but I also think they didn't really know the difference. One other thing was that most of them said that they would be interested in something that would help them out to figure, you know, all of this world out, to if they were curious about it. But actually, one surprising thing to me was that it didn't feel like students really cared that much about it, as much as I thought they would. So, you know, a couple of them said they would consider it, but it wasn't an overwhelming, you know, yes, I would definitely want to do it for extra money or something like that.
Wow. What was your impression of why?
My impression of why was because I think they're still fairly, I mean, for them, they're in the process of graduating from school. And I guess they spend all their time studying and focusing on a specific subject. So they really just want to do something that's related to, you know, all their effort in school, I think.
I see. So delivering food or driving an Uber would be less interesting because it's not related to their field of study.
Yeah. For example, I talked to a couple of students who were like studying nursing. So they were saying, you know, if I could do something that I could care for people, like babysitting or caring for elderly people, something like that, that would be more relevant to what I'm interested in and doing and improves my skills over time. So, yeah, I think that's what they're focused on. So it seems like, you know, anecdotally at least, maybe students aren't the right first target market. Maybe it's like a different group.
So was your impression that any of them were a fit for something? Because babysitting, it sounds like there's probably an Uber for babysitting, no? And probably an Uber for elder care, or do these things not exist yet, such that you could have hooked them up?
Well, I think there is something for babysitting, actually, and a few of them mentioned that. So those things, yeah, they are interested in it. I think things that are related to what they're studying directly is what they want to do.
That's a pretty interesting insight of just saying like that if there was, like, they'd be interested if it helped them not just like make money, but also help them with their career path.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had an assumption that they would be more open to doing kind of anything, but it seems like, yeah, they just want to kind of focus on what they're studying.
Cool. Well, so basically with this one is that assumption, so the test that they would want this product and, you know, really want to be excited about connecting with the on-demand community, that's a negative. Is that right?
I would say it's like it's kind of positive and negative. So it's positive that they would use it, but it's not as strong as I thought it would be.
Well, yeah, I guess generally what we like to do is like, so it's not really a, like whenever there's like a negative response to something, it's like, well, normally whenever you develop a product, there's a lot of negatives on the way. So it's like, I think it's also important when we're structuring a test is just like, they would be really excited about it, trying to like have like a high bar for success so that we could figure out something that they are really excited about. So it seems like, you know, the basic thing of just like, you know, a website that helps them find Uber and Lyft jobs is not something that they're super excited about.
That's students, yeah, particularly.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's not a particularly strong demand for that.
So what's next for you, do you think, Jason, in terms of the next phase for your idea?
So I want to start building out more of the just a prototype and then trying to test it with other groups. So I have some other user personas that I think, you know, may be interested in it. Like another group that could be interesting to test on the other end of the scale is actually the retired segment. I mean, from what I, you know, what I've heard anecdotally from people as well is that, you know, they know a lot of people who are retired who now do these things because they've got spare time and don't want to be super bored.
Cool. I just want to add to that. One thing, if you look at Lyft, and let's just take Lyft specifically, in the city they advertise for customers, and anywhere outside of the city, maybe 20, 30 minutes, if you go down to Hayward or if you even go like further out of the city, that's where they have billboards to ask you to start to drive for them. So they actually, you know, a lot of their people that work for them are living in lower cost areas, such as, you know, outside of the city. So you might want to try marketing towards people not in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, most of the drivers that I've talked to they live down south and they come up to SF because that's where it's busiest for them. But I mean, yeah, the driver thing is definitely like a big one because everyone knows about Uber and Lyft and it's very high frequency. Yeah, but I also want to test if, you know, what the knowledge and appetite is for like doing other things. Like, I don't know if it is the babysitting thing or, you know, delivery or some other skills that they have or they want to utilize.
Cool.
Anything you would have changed about how you did the test, or does this maybe change how you would perceive testing out some of your ideas? Because yeah, I remember when you and I were talking, you were a bit reluctant of getting that idea out kind of in this phase.
Yeah, I kind of was, because it was a fairly, you know, early stage idea that I wasn't really sure what the thing would be. It was just kind of a hunch around, you know, the growing supply and demand, on-demand stuff. But in terms of changing the test itself, not particularly. I think I wanted to keep the questions more open-ended, so I didn't, you know, test anything with numbers, like saying, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 or anything like that. I just wanted to hear what they had to say, which I think worked out fairly well because I could understand, you know, and dig deeper into what their thoughts were. I mean, some of the students, I think, were naturally, you know, they were kind of busy walking around, going to different classes, but, you know, some of them who had spare time were willing to talk more. Some of them were also kind of, you know, tired and just came out of class and like they wanted to talk to a stranger about something.
I'm too tired to talk to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, that was what happened.
I totally get it. Well, Jason, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun having you, and it's always great when people actually get out there and talk to people without spending $30,000 on an app that turns out to be a bad idea.
Yeah, we definitely wish you all the best in testing out in a different demographic.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
Great. So to podcast listeners, this is Jevin, Jason, and Joe signing off. Until then, keep on testing.